a hell of a Tuesday show. Boy, do we have breaking news for you in a second that's going to rock your world.
Do we?
We do, my friend, we do. Later in the program, though, we've got a fascinating race brewing in Georgia. As you guys might know about, we've got some details you might not know about. Yeah. My conclusion is on North Korea. Uh-oh, we're getting a conclusion.
Conclusions?
Yes. And some of them will be dramatic. Okay.
We're sending the CIA in, we're taking that guy out.
No. I'm starting to get to a conclusion on what might happen, and it is not a good or happy conclusion.
Uh-oh. See, I've reached my likely conclusion, I'll give that two, and it's happier.
Okay, good.
But I'm a hopeful guy, I watched Star Trek growing up, come on.
Sure, fine. On to uncharted territory. No, that's not what I was looking for. What did they say in Star Trek in the beginning? Anyways.
Oh, you're talking about like, yeah. The Kirk speech, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, also both first hour and second hour Ivanka Trump stories. Is she actually popular with young women? And how well is her sales going? And to what degree is it a conflict of interest? And you know the answer to the last question, which is massive, but we'll explain why and how, and the hypocrisy of trade with China and the Trumps. Okay. I can't wait. Let's get to the main news. Let's get to the breaking news. Okay. No, me.
But thank you for the assumption that it would be.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and most you would be right 90% of the time. All right. Anyways, breaking news, guys, about Bill O'Reilly. Now this is dramatic. Hold. Let me give you a little bit of what happened earlier today to give you context for what appears to be happening later today. First of all, we got reports out about a new sexual harassment issue for Bill O'Reilly. Law News writes there's a new accuser, and the woman, an African American who worked as a clerical worker in 2008 at Fox News, claims Bill O'Reilly engaged in a pattern of harassment that lasted for months, including making animal noises at her. I'm not sure I want to know which animal. I don't know. What does the fox say? Just now I came up with that. Anyway, as you can tell. And he was apparently staring at her cleavage and calling her hot chocolate. Oh, you are, first of all, you are so old. I mean, not only are you a perv, not only have you learned nothing from all the different sexual harassment lawsuits that Fox News and you have had to suffer. I mean, all the calls where you accidentally rubbed the falafel on the women and your phone sex, which was unsolicited and unrequited, but you go and call an African American woman hot chocolate? What century are you from? All right, anyway, Lisa Bloom, representing some of the women who are suing Trump, points out in this case, like Wendy Walsh, the other person that Lisa Bloom is representing, she's the lawyer, like Wendy Walsh, the new O'Reilly accuser who I represent is not asking for money, just accountability. Watch this space, she says. Well, actually, we're watching the whole space. Then we go to New York Magazine. They're reporting three sources with knowledge of the discussions between the Murdochs, both the father, Rupert Murdoch, and the sons, James and Lachlan, said that while no final decision has been made, the Murdochs are leaning towards announcing that O'Reilly will not return to the air. Damn, I'm not done yet, though. Hold, okay, it's developing right now. Apparently, the two sons say he's got to go. Rupert Murdoch, the dad, who of course owns News Corp, is saying, I'm not sure yet, I'm thinking of sticking by my man. One network insider said Fox executives are alarmed by the severity of the ad revenue decline. It's worse than Glenn Beck, the insider said, referring to the advertiser revolt that helped derail Beck's Fox News career in 2011. Remember, Glenn Beck gone from Fox News because so many advertisers pulled out. I don't know if you know this, they're in the business. This is not a nonprofit. So when they start losing money, oh boy, you're in a world of trouble. It doesn't matter how popular. If you don't remember, Glenn Beck actually had great ratings at 5 o'clock. He was gone anyway because the advertisers pulled out. But that's not the only financial issue at stake here for Fox News and News Corp. Another factor, New York Magazine explains, the Murdochs pending $14 billion takeover of European pay TV provider Sky. On May 16th, the British media regulator Ofcom is set to judge whether the Murdochs are, quote, fit and proper to own such a large media property. Removing O'Reilly could appease critics and help close the Sky deal. When you got a $14 billion deal on the line, then you begin to rethink your top rated host. And then, right before we came on air live, Matt Drudge tweeting, O'Reilly has had a tremendous run. Very few in the business get to decide when and how things end. Media is most brutal of all industries.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Down goes O'Reilly. Down goes O'Reilly. Now, it's not 100% certain yet, but and Matt Drudge is normally very unreliable because he has a conservative agenda and propaganda, etc. But in this case, when you're talking about conservative news, he does have very good sources inside the conservative world and far more reliable in circumstances like this.
Yeah, I've never understood how he has the pull that he does at his website. But that's possible, and this tweet could indicate that he's talking to those sources. This tweet also fits in perfectly naturally based on just the stuff that you discussed already. That this stuff is going around, it looks pretty bad for him. His tweet makes perfect sense even without him having secret knowledge that O'Reilly is out. I mean, look, as soon as O'Reilly went on his 2-week vacation that, oh, I totally scheduled it a year ago, don't worry, it doesn't mean anything, that looked bad. And there was always the chance that he wouldn't come back. I don't know if it's a sure thing yet.
I don't want to get excited. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, hosting the show with me today, Debbie Downer. Okay. Rest of us get excited. No, seriously. Of course, John is right. It's not set in stone. News Corp has not announced it. Fox News has not announced it. The Murdochs have not announced it. First of all, as you remember, he got in massive trouble once the news broke from the New York Times. And Rupert Murdoch, apparently, one of the reasons he's holding out is because he's like, I don't want to have the New York Times chase me out and have me fire Bill O'Reilly because of the New York Times, because he hates them.
Yeah.
But they reported about the five lawsuits that were settled by Fox News about Bill O'Reilly's sexual harassment and other forms of harassment in specific. $13 million News Corp has already paid out in those settlements. And then we started to get, of course, as usual, with this person today, more announcements and revelations about how much sexual harassment he's done. And then his program was cut short by 15 minutes in his last broadcast. We pointed it out. Of course, the rest of the media pointed that out as well. And then he had to go on a vacation all of a sudden. And I told you then, look, I've seen those all of a sudden vacations on mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they come back, and a lot of times they don't come back.
Yeah.
Now, at the time, I wouldn't have said that it would have gone as much as it did. But the advertiser pullout has been massive and significant. And a $14 billion deal is just too big a number.
Yeah.
So now, again, it might be that Drudge is just speculating. But he does have good sources in conservative media. When combined with all the others, it looks like O'Reilly might be done.
Yeah, if the $14 billion thing is actually a big factor, then that's something. I mean, $13 million, that at some point you just factor that into O'Reilly's contract. Yeah, every couple of years we're going to have to pay a couple million dollars because he keeps sexually harassing people. And remember, the New York Times reported on some of these details. A lot of those details we've previously known, and certainly Fox knew. They, after all, paid out those settlements. So remember in the background of all of this, Fox News does not care about the actual sexual harassment. The details of this woman, the cleavage and the hot chocolate, they don't care about that either. The only way they care about it is if it leads to enough public backlash that the advertisers start to flee. And that's why the sort of activism that led to that, just like with Glenn Beck, is so important. And so we do want to see more of that, of course. But in terms of the immorality and the non-consensual nature of all this, Fox News doesn't care at all about that stuff. That's just a cost of doing business with O'Reilly.
Yeah, to give further context, O'Reilly's show, to be fair to them, makes about $170 million a year. So $13 million is sometimes a rounding error. That's why he gets paid $18 million a year, and they don't sweat that too much either. And then of course it has further costs with its staff, etc. But it makes so much money and does so well in the ratings that they were willing to overlook all this. We didn't know it before, but Fox News knew it, and they didn't care. But
well, we knew the falafel, and we knew some of that stuff.
Yeah. But remember, back then it was run by Roger Ailes, who did the same exact thing and worse than Bill O'Reilly. He couldn't fire Bill O'Reilly for doing the same things he did. So there was no chance Bill O'Reilly was going to get fired before. Now, Ailes, the guy who ran Fox News, is gone because of the sexual harassment. Now O'Reilly's left exposed, if you will. Oops. And instead of the talking points, he might soon have walking points. Anyway, and so the bottom line is always the bottom line. And when you stop talking about millions and you start talking about billions, it doesn't matter how great your ratings are, the parent corporation's interest will outweigh that particular host. By the way, that happens on other cable news programs and other corporations as well. Comcast has different considerations, and Time Warner has different considerations, and some have to do with mergers, some have to do with net neutrality. For News Corp, it has to do with British regulators approving this $14 billion, and advertisers pulling out in such a significant way that it is hurting the overall bottom line for News Corp. So, if O'Reilly's not gone, which I would be surprised at this point, he is going to be heavily, heavily damaged. And one more mishap with a hot chocolate or God knows what else, I don't even want to speculate, then he's in a world of trouble at a bare minimum. You know, by the way, we're still standing. After all we've been through,
Yeah, well, it helps that we don't rampantly sexually harass people.
Yeah, that's slightly helpful. Yes. Yeah.
So it was a good decision on our part.
I'll save it for when they pull down the statue. But how many people and organizations have we outlasted?
Capitalism, baby.
Yeah,
capitalism.
What can you do? Talking Point says possibly one more.
Oh my God. Wait until you hear what Talking Point's memo called some of the interns. Disgusting.
All right, forward.
Anyway, let's turn to some other important news going on around the country. Today is the special election for Georgia's 6th congressional district. And there, as we reported on yesterday, you have Democrat John Ossoff in reach of victory over 16 other candidates. So it's this big, raucous first round election. Now, he can theoretically win it with more than 50% and just win, or with a lower amount, and then it goes to a runoff in a couple of months where his odds go down a little bit. But this is an important election, but that's not necessarily why we're talking about it today. Go out and vote. But there's other stuff going on. We want to back up just a couple of days to a weird coincidence that happened when 4 voting machines were mysteriously stolen in that district, right on the eve of an incredibly important, nationally significant special election. So local ABC affiliates reported that the equipment was stolen on Saturday evening while a precinct manager's vehicle was parked at the Kroger on Canton Road in Marietta. The outlet specified that the 4 so-called express poll machines were the computers poll workers used to check in voters and check those off who cast ballots. So incredibly important for running actual elections. And now the Secretary of State for Georgia responded to this, specifically that it took them a lot of time to actually let him know that the machines had been stolen. They sort of sat on it. So Brian Kemp said, "It's unacceptable that the Cobb County Elections Office waited 2 days to notify my office of this theft. We've opened an investigation. We're taking steps to ensure that it has no effect on the election tomorrow. I'm confident that the results will not be compromised." That is a sentiment that the people he was just attacking echoed in the Cobb County elections office, with the director saying that the stolen machines can't be used to fraudulently vote in Tuesday's election. Janina Eveler also said, "We have managed that so that there's what's stolen could not impact the election." So they're saying you can't use it to vote illegally. But theoretically, if it's what manages that people have already voted, then you could mark off a bunch of people's already voted and caused a bunch of problems on election day. I'm not an expert, but that's my take. Now, they want you to feel like this is not a big breach of security, that it's not going to affect the results. But it is 4 machines that for some reason, days before the election, were just sitting in someone's car left on the road, which seems a bit suspicious to me.
Well, we don't
know
who
did. What are they
doing
in someone's car in plain view? 4 computers.
I don't know. I don't know what they were doing there. I don't know if it was intentional or not intentional. I don't know why they didn't report it for 2 days. I don't know if it's a Republican or a Democrat or a random theft. I'd be like, voting machines. What I can get on the eBay for those? Not a lot. So you begin to, you know, I have a sense that it was probably for a purpose because it's a very specific thing to steal. But we don't know who did it. But I do know the Republicans have an unfair advantage that when they do voter fraud, the Democrats are very reluctant to call it out. This happened on the eve of the 2012 election. There was a big scandal with Republicans getting caught on voter fraud. And Nancy Pelosi literally said, "We don't want to talk about it because it accidentally helps their Republican cause by pretending voter fraud is real. Mm-hmm. Now, in that case, it was
sort of ironic that.
Yeah, it's super ironic. So if a Democrat does it, which I literally can't remember a large case of it happening in the over 20 years I've been covering politics.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Republicans go nuts. They'll go find things that didn't even happen and be like, oh my God, look at this kind of thing where someone's registered in a couple of states. You're allowed to be registered in a couple of states. In fact, Steve Bannon is registered in several different states.
I believe Jared Kushner is multiple people.
Yeah, that's right. So, but if a Republican does it, the Democrats, as usual, are like, let's not point it out too much because we think it helps them. As you can tell, I don't agree with that at all. So it provides an extra incentive for Republicans to want to get involved, especially when they're losing in the middle of Georgia. But we really, really, really have no idea who took them.
Yeah, it's funny that like they talk about voter fraud. It's all these millions of votes being cast. Which, by the way, you hear Trump talking about that anymore? Said that after 60 days they'd have a report on the voter fraud that happened. All of a sudden there's no report. Weird how that works out. And so you're supposed to believe that the elections aren't secure because all these Democrats are illegally voting. But when the Republicans do the dirty tricks that they always do, that the Democrats vote on one day, Republicans on the other, or they send out fake information about where you're supposed to go to vote, that's not a big deal. Republicans don't worry about that stuff so much because, of course, it helps them. But in this case, again, we don't know who stole it. They're trying to reassure us that it'll have no effect on the election. But if it ends up that Ossoff gets like 49%, is anyone going to be confident that that couldn't have had an effect? That that couldn't have been vitally important? I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned until they give us far more information about what actually happened and recover the actual machines. Check them to see if they've been used.
And do we have any idea where Erdogan was when any of this happened?
I don't know. Now, also in the background, obviously, as I said, incredibly important special election for the 6th District in Georgia going on as we're filming this right now. Now, Republicans want you to believe that they're not worried about this at all. And yet, for some reason, they've decided to flood the election with a ton of outside money and also outside influence. So let's see if you can recognize this voice who recorded a robocall for the election.
Only you can stop the super liberal Democrats and Nancy Pelosi's group, and in particular, John Ossoff.
The super liberals.
You know, I might be overanalyzing here, which I've been guilty of in the past from time to time. But it seemed like there was a slight pause where he had to read John Ossoff.
Well,
and the super liberals like, John Ossoff. It reminded me of
Abi Kibar, Trump, Sarkar.
So JR printed me out the script, and it printed out really big for some reason. And I don't think it's an accent. I think this is what they gave Trump so that he could somehow read a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so again, just like with Kansas, they got Trump to record a robocall. In both cases, from his tone of voice, you can tell that he doesn't actually care about these elections. And from the actual script, he doesn't know anything about the candidates or the issues in these particular elections. It's all just, he's scary, he's super lib. Marco Rubio also recorded a call, and it's very specific about the candidate. You can disagree with it, but he seems to know what he's talking about. And then also, Trump, I honestly don't know if it's fear tactics or if he really doesn't know how the government works, but he said this in the robocall. If you don't vote tomorrow, Ossoff will raise your taxes, destroy your health care, and flood our country with illegal immigrants, which I think is a reasonable read for a freshman congressman in the minority party in Congress. How is he going to do that exactly? Now, it's an important election. You can say that it's important. But if he could somehow destroy your health care and raise your taxes as one congressman in the minority party, that is actually a super liberal.
And super powerful.
Super
Maybe
powerful.
We should get that guy in, right?
Yeah.
See what else he can get done. All right, to me, the main takeaway from the talking points that they're using against the Democrat here is when Trump and the Republicans say he will raise your taxes, what they're actually saying is he will raise my taxes.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the middle class or the poor, Democrats like Ossoff have no interest in raising your taxes. They have no intention of doing it. They have no stated purpose in doing that. Nothing of the sort. But they say, yes, the multinational corporations and the very top of the tax bracket are not paying their fair share. You know who agrees with them? An overwhelming majority of Americans.
Yeah.
So when Trump says he's going to raise your taxes, what he means is he's going to raise my taxes because I'm at the top of the bracket and I can't stand that. He's going to raise my donors' taxes and we can't stand that. So it's a trick So whenever you see it from now on, you hear Republicans saying he's going to raise your taxes, what they're actually saying is whatever you do, don't raise taxes on my super rich friends and donors.
Yeah. So why don't we take our first break? When we come back, we're going to have North Korea. Is there a cause for alarm, reasons to be scared? We're going to get your conclusion on the North Korea situation. We're going to judge the whole thing, figure out what's going to happen there.
And does Trump actually know who's running North Korea? Now, I know what you're thinking. Of course he doesn't. But the level of his ignorance will still surprise you.
Yeah.
Okay, when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. It's a good lead in by Bart there. I just had a thought. What if Bill O'Reilly and Tommy Lahren got together?
Oh. What would he call her?
Hey, Vanilla Miss, you want to start a network together?
Skinny Vanilla Latte.
Swiss Miss, Vanilla Miss, what is it? It's Swiss Miss, right?
Swiss Miss is the milk chocolate. Okay. Yeah. Oh, would she want to work with, I don't know. Anyway,
who knows?
Yeah. Technically, she's still working.
Yes. If there's an opportunity, my guess is Tommy will show up. Anyway, Super Chat on YouTube, Bill Falafel writes in, very appropriately. He says, my first day on first shift after 4 years on second shift, referring to his own job. Maybe it is actually O'Reilly. He says he's on vacation,
shift.
Right?
Yeah.
Finally, I get to see Jenko and the gang live. Love it. Watchers on the wall unite.
Yes.
Indeed. Thank you for being here, Bill. Kevin from Texas gave $27 to tytnetwork.com/go. $127 from Jack in Colorado. $127 from David in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
You guys are going to miss these updates. There's less than 2 weeks left now until we're done with the journalism drive. Let me see where we are right now on tytnetwork.com/go. Okay, 1669. I said, can we see 170? I'm sorry, 1.7 yesterday on the show. Can we see it by the end of the hour? Can
you
we
said
do that?
Soon.
Yes,
that
that's
could
right.
be today.
And so, guys, again, not a lot of time left. If we get to 1.75, we hire one more. If we get to 2, we hire 2 more reporters. So let's go on that. Greta writes in from on hashtag TYT Live, popping the biggest bottles when Bill O'Reilly gets fired. I don't know if that's Van Susteren or not, but I hear you, Greta. Right there with you, sister. Marissa N says this may be the first time that corporate money greed has led to a decision that's best for America.
Well, Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. And by the way, corporations are also into diversity because they want to be able to sell to everybody in the world. So they're actually on our side on a couple of select issues,
yes,
and oftentimes on gay rights as well. But on everything else, much in it for themselves alone. And on those they are as well. They
Paula
just happen
Dean,
to benefit.
Us. That worked out okay for a little while.
Okay, Ben Peck writes in, wonder if O'Reilly will use Alex Jones' excuse in court. I was just a performance artist playing a character.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great.
Well, I'm not going to go into the full thing, but he posted a video responding to everybody gloating about that where he goes crazy while driving. And I encourage him to continue filming while driving. But anyway, and he's like, it's not fake. It's not an act. I mean, I am an actor. It is an act, but I believe everything. But but part of it is, you know, is performance. He had to keep going back and forth because he wants both. He doesn't want to lose the lawsuit, but he desperately wants you to believe that it's real. And so it's driving him crazy the way he drives others crazy.
It's awesome.
Couldn't have happened to a worse guy.
Yeah. I wonder if Bill O'Reilly will use the excuse in court of, no, that wasn't me who sexually harassed those women. It was talking points.
I knew it was going to be.
Right.
The talking point for the day is hot chocolate.
Right. No, Natalie, talking point says.
Talking point says.
That her cleavage is hot chocolate. That's literally what he told us. He saw her cleavage and then said that.
Yeah.
Anyway, last one.
Segments are people, my friend.
Bill O'Reilly goes in, Bill O'Reilly goes out. You can't explain that. All right. The Chris Lopaco writes, and people can back engineer the voting machines and see how they work to exploit weakness.
Oh,
let's see if there were any rushes in Cobb County.
Oh, God.
Okay. What's next?
Anyway, now you're going to get people started on that now. Okay. Last week, we learned about a possible plan where the U.S. military, in response to a nuclear weapons test by North Korea, would launch a military strike against North Korea, which sounds like a potential disaster. Now, thankfully, that didn't happen because they didn't actually test a nuclear weapon. And so we dodged a bullet there. But now we find out about another potential plan, a contingency plan, that could also end poorly. The U.S. military is considering shooting down North Korean missile tests as a show of strength to Pyongyang. Two sources told The Guardian. So they didn't test a nuclear weapon. They tested a missile, as they have earlier this year and 4 years now. It blew up basically right as they were being in the test. We showed you the cartoon video of it yesterday. And so they say now that they will continue to do those tests. So theoretically, if the US military were to shoot those down as a show of strength, would you consider that a provocation? You just might, but let's go into some of the specifics. One US official said the prospective shoot down strategy would be aimed at occurring after a nuclear test. So let them test the nuclear weapon, but then shoot down the missiles later, with the objective being to signal to Pyongyang that the US can impose military consequences for a step Donald Trump has described as unacceptable. So that is actually taking a step back from the previous plan, just shooting down the missile as opposed to bombing North Korea. So perhaps that's a step in the right direction. However, North Korea's deputy foreign minister told the BBC that they would continue to test missiles on a weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. All-out war would ensue if the US took military action, he said. And a former senior Pentagon policy official for Asia under Barack Obama, Abraham Denmark, said, "I would see such an action, shooting down the missiles, as escalatory, but I couldn't guess how Kim Jong-un would interpret it. But I would be concerned he would feel the need to react strongly, as he would not want to appear weak." So it might be a provocation. So yeah. What do you think about this? Is this a better alternative, or is this still too likely to result in all-out war?
Yeah. We're headed towards a collision course with North Korea. And to be fair to Donald Trump, we probably were headed in that direction no matter what. And I'll tell you why. And then I'll tell you why it's a disaster if it happens under Trump. Because North Korean officials talk about the Gaddafi example and how Gaddafi negotiated with the Americans to give away his nuclear program. And obviously, as you know, sometime later, he was taken out of a ditch with a pole in his ass and then shot in the head. So now, there was a whole revolution that preceded that. But the European and American allies that had assured Gaddafi that he would remain safe as long as he gave up his nuclear program did not invade him. But as soon as the revolution began, they authorized bombing of his positions and basically helped to take him out. So the North Koreans apparently feel that they have learned a lesson from that, which is never, ever give up your nuclear program to the West. And if they have a nuclear program that is getting better and better, and unfortunately it is, that failed test maybe is a testament to our cyber warfare, their latest missile test of theirs. But overall, all sources say that their missile program has been getting much stronger. In fact, General John Hyten from the US said that their February launch test came out of a quote, out of a place we'd never even seen before, and that we were taken by surprise by it. So with significant advancements and them not wanting to give up their nuclear program under any circumstance, there's no way that the US is going to tolerate a North Korea that could reach America with a nuclear strike, especially the hydrogen bomb, which would be 1,000 times worse than Hiroshima. There's no way we would allow that. So, and it doesn't matter who's in office. Now, we think that they still have another 10 years before they get there, but maybe that's being optimistic. We don't know. And remember, they probably can hit Seoul, South Korea today and kill untold amounts of people, even if it's just the Hiroshima level of atomic bomb that they possess today. So now, if we're on a collision course with North Korea, man, I would work triple overtime to find a way to again be able to take out enough of the North Korean leadership and bribe everyone else in North Korean leadership with, look, what do you need? You need $1 million, you need 10 million bucks a head per general, per colonel, per lieutenant to not go to war and to turn you know, that Kim Jong-un over and whoever else you need to turn over, because it's not like we haven't done that in the past.
Yeah.
When we went in the, from the 1950s to the 70s, 80s and beyond, deposing people that were not friendly governments, yes, we often did it through violence, but oftentimes we also went in and bribed everyone around leadership. And that's why it was easier to topple those governments. So we're going to have to take care of this issue. But if it happens under Trump and we don't, and we're not patient, and we don't set up all the right ways of doing it.
Strategic patience is over, by the way.
Yeah, I know. And so the thing is, by patient, I don't mean punt. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that both Democrats and Republicans in the past have thought, this is too hard a problem. Unlike Trump, they knew it was complicated. And they punted. They didn't solve it on their watch. And politically, you know, trying to solve North Korea on your watch, not a lot of upside and potential disastrous downside, right? So I don't know, to be fair to them, I don't know how much they worked to set up a situation where we could topple the government.
Yeah, and look, it's incredibly complicated. And I know that Trump thinks that in a sentence he can write off all of the efforts of Obama and Clinton. He doesn't even mention George W. Bush, but of course George W. Bush attempted to engage in some ways. And look, to some extent, if they still eventually develop nuclear weapons, it is punting. I would say as long as you can push that off is a good thing, especially if you attempt to, in the very limited case that it might work, bring North Korea into the lowercase League of Nations that we have in the world. And there have been attempts by that. There were attempts in both the 90s and under George W. Bush to attempt to break the huge disconnect between North Korea and the rest of the world. It just didn't work. Now, look, if they were to develop nuclear weapons, that is a disaster. It is not game over because, of course, we have missile defense. In 10 years, we'll have even more advanced missile defense, and we'll have had an additional decade to stage it all over South Korea and Japan and the rest of the region, let alone the west case of the US. But I agree that simply because, and I agree, inevitably there was going to be tensions with North Korea. But this was number six, perhaps, on the list of reasons why Donald Trump could not become president. Because I don't know if there's anyone less qualified to deal with the situation. In the end, it'll probably be Jared Kushner that's put in charge of it. But Donald Trump is not responsible. He cannot handle the situation. I know people have convinced themselves that Hillary Clinton would be exactly the same when it comes to North Korea, or that if she became president, then they've performed this mental jujitsu on themselves where they think instantly we go to nuclear war with Russia. But Donald Trump is an irresponsible guy who can't be trusted with weapons and can't be trusted with dealing with perhaps psychotic dictators like Kim Jong-un.
No.
Especially if he doesn't even know who the guy is, which we're going to get to in a second.
In this case, the Clinton-Trump comparison is ridiculous.
I see it every day on
social
media.
Well, whoever you is writing it, even if you're on the left, or you're absolutely, positively wrong. Now, you could call Clinton a warmonger, and in a lot of ways I understand that and made that argument before. But in the case of North Korea, Trump has two toxic elements that Clinton didn't have. It's not that I think that Clinton was a peace-loving person and a secret progressive. No, she was a hawk, of course, we know that. But Trump, one, has this need to prove himself, and they keep talking about how they're going to, quote, impose military consequences, right? And he talked tough, and he has to show, oh, when Obama said he was going to draw the line, and he didn't draw the line. When I draw the line, there's going to be consequences when I say something is unacceptable, which he's already described as unacceptable. Now, Obama and Clinton, they're pragmatists, for better or for worse, and I don't like their kind of pragmatism. But if they thought, all right, well, if I draw the line, millions of people might die, they might rethink it.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump thinks, no, I got to prove myself, right? And he never thinks two steps ahead.
No.
The fact that he is incredibly stupid is relevant here. And then, of course, the more important part is ego. Kim Jong-un's not going to show me what to do. I'm going to show him what to do. But you incompetent buffoon, you don't even know his name, let alone where he's hidden all of his missiles. And that ego will, A, is more likely to cause conflict, and B, way more likely to underestimate the enemy. And the North Koreans are a disaster in everything but weapons.
Yeah.
And they have all those weapons buried in their mountains in places that we don't even know. All they've been preparing for 60 years is all-out war. And so if we blunder into North Korea unprepared, we are going to unleash something that is going to be very hard to undo.
Yeah.
And look, John, you've been reading about the North Korean about the Korean War from back in the day, from 64 years ago. And there is not any amount of bombing of you could do of North Korea if you don't get their leaders that they will surrender to. And imagine how many bombs, even conventional bombs, North Korea could unleash on our allies in South Korea and Japan, and the amount of damage that would do to the world economy. And when you have a situation that precarious, we have a buffoon, a child, even in the Yemen strike, completely unprepared at the helm. Oh boy.
Who has said that he himself wants to use nuclear weapons.
Guys, this is look, if we stumble into this, and Trump is far more likely to stumble into it than any president of our lifetimes, it could be an epic disaster. If you thought Iraq was bad, wait till North Korea launches all its missiles. Yeah. You think we're going to take them all out? I hope so. But God help us if we don't.
Yeah. Let's briefly drill down on a point that you just made right there. Does Donald Trump know who the leader of North Korea is? That may sound like a ridiculous question to ask, considering that we're engaging in this brinksmanship against them right now. But I want you to watch this video and then tell me if he actually does or not.
Have you ruled out a military strike?
I don't want to telegraph what I'm doing or what I'm thinking. I'm not like other administrations where they say we're going to do this in 4 weeks, and that doesn't work that way. We'll see what happens. I hope things work out well. I hope there's going to be peace. But, you know, they've been talking with this gentleman for a long time. You read Clinton's book, he said, oh, we made such a great peace deal and it was a joke. You look at different things over the years with President Obama. Everybody has been outplayed. They've all been outplayed by this gentleman, and we'll see what happens. But I just don't telegraph my moves.
So they all talked to this gentleman.
So there's two layers to this. One, he of course does not know Kim Jong-un's name. Now, if you don't know Kim Jong-un's name, I get it, man, that's not your job. Although probably a lot of you do. He's been in the news a lot, right? And you know, we have fun with his name. That's Kim Jong-un believable. Maybe they should try that with Trump so he can keep it in his head,
yeah,
right?
Mnemonic or something.
Yeah. So you're the Donald Trump, you're the president of the United States. This is not the leader of Mozambique, although it would be great if you knew his name too. Now that you're president.
For the record, I do not.
Okay. And remember, he told us that he was going to know foreign policy so well as soon as he stepped into office that our head was going to spin.
Yeah. No, okay. My head is facing forward right now.
Yes, not remotely spinning. So, okay, you know he doesn't know his name, which is so embarrassing. But
That's fine.
Who cares? Yeah, that's the part that's like, I can live with it, whatever. But he didn't take any time to figure out the context, the history of North Korea, to know that Kim Jong-un started in 2011. His father was in charge from 94 to 2011, which is some part of the Clinton administration, some part of the Obama administration. So it is not the same gentleman, let alone the fact that
George W. Bush as well. But yeah.
Let alone the fact that Kim Il-sung continued until 94, from the end of the Korean War to when he died in 94, which is also part of Bill Clinton's. So it's actually three different guys that Clinton and Obama dealt with, not this gentleman.
And it is consequential because, yes, it's a family and they do share some things, including the cult of personality and all of that. But their approaches to North Korean society, their priorities in terms of how much money is going to the military and things like that, has been different between the three. He should probably know. Maybe he doesn't need to know the specifics, but he should probably know that there have been three different people that he's lumping into this gentleman.
And Kim Jong-un is young. Has he never seen a picture of him? Did he really think that Kim Jong-un has been in charge since Clinton years?
He was born in 1912.
I mean, just simple, basic elementary stuff. But guys, again, even if you're a Trump supporter, think about it. He is so careless that he didn't even bother to do 1 minute of homework to find out who this gentleman is, who the leader of North Korea is, what the leader of North Korea, who it used to be, what the context of North Korea is. This guy is talking about, oh, I'm going to show them and there's going to be military consequences and what they're doing is unacceptable. This guy who could start this disastrous war where millions of people could die, he hasn't done 1 minute of homework. Not 1 minute to figure out who the hell the leader of North Korea is. And this buffoon, this orange monstrosity is our president and unfortunately the most powerful man on earth.
I don't want to see military consequences until he's proven that there have been educational consequences, where when you go to the brink of war with a country, you then feel obligated to learn just a little bit about its history and its leadership. Show us that first.
We have built the greatest military known to man. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it is by far the most important military in the history of the planet. And we've now handed it over to a guy who doesn't care to do a single minute of research to find out who our adversary is. I mean, if you're conservative, isn't that deeply embarrassing? Aren't you supposed to study your adversary? Aren't you guys supposed to be tough guys who know about military and war and consequences? And this ignoramus doesn't even bother to figure out who the leader of this country is that he is threatening all-out war with. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's worse than you thought. It's even worse than I thought.
Yeah. Embarrassing.
Okay, we got to take a quick break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we have more for you guys, including Ivanka's horrific conflict of interest issues as she sits next to Chinese leaders making deals. Ridiculous. We'll explain when we come back. Back on a Young Turks, let me read donor names again for tytnetwork.com/go. $15 from Stan in Colorado, $127 from Kathy in North Carolina, and $127 from Alex in Florida. You can now get the House TYT t-shirt, Game of Thrones style, if you give $127. Let me see where we are right now. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on, let's get to 1670. Before the, I was saying 1.7. No, I meant 1.670 by the end of the hour. Okay, Tim Joyce writes in, he doesn't telegraph his moves because he has no idea what he's going to do next. Dwayne makes a good point too. He doesn't telegraph his moves except all the time on Twitter.
That's true.
Jeremy Varner.
If you can make sense of his tweets, I guess.
Yeah. Jeremy Varner writes in, nut jobs with bad hair and inferiority complexes who make up bullshit to compensate for their flaws. You'd think they'd be friends. And finally, Riley Grady says, two weak men trying not to appear weak has disaster written all over it.
I think right now there is a 5% chance of nuclear war, 10% chance that Kim Jong-un ends up at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, from everything I've read, Kim Jong-un would love the cake.
Tremendous. Okay.
Okay, let's jump back into it. Ivanka is one of the Trump children who's supposed to be on the government side of things, with the various family businesses being controlled by trusts and the Trump sons. And so because she's on the government side, that's what makes certain coincidences a little bit hard to explain. Like what happened on April 6th when three new Ivanka Trump brand trademarks were approved in China on the same day she and husband Jared Kushner sat next to Chinese President Xi Jinping at a Mar-a-Lago state dinner, which was apparently a lovely occasion. We don't know what kind of cake they had, but we do know that during the meetings, her daughter, 5-year-old Arabella, stood in a gilded room and sang a traditional Chinese song in Mandarin for China's president, which sounds lovely. And so it was a nice close occasion where they got to know each other better and didn't talk business. And yet she got these three monopoly trademarks to sell different types of products in China. Now the week of that summit, and this is interesting, 3.4 tons of her handbags, wallets and blouses arrived in the US from Hong Kong and Shanghai. You know they're high quality when they're measured by the ton. US imports of her merchandise grew an estimated 40% in the first quarter of this year. And this isn't the first meeting with the Chinese government. And so that seems a little bit odd, especially because her attorney earlier said Ivanka will not weigh in on business strategy, marketing issues or the commercial terms of agreements. She's retained authority to direct the trustees to terminate agreements that she determines create a conflict of interest or the appearance of one. So she could terminate this conflict of interest, but chooses not to. Now, bear in mind, as those 3.4 tons in just a week are coming in, her father, Donald Trump, signed the Buy American, Hire American executive order today. So you should buy American, just not if you're buying Ivanka Trump's for a merchandise, because that's made in China.
It's unbelievable. All right, so let's break down.
It's swampy, I would say.
Yeah, to say the least. Let's break down all the things that are happening here. So first off, on the conflict of interest, Ivanka Trump, that is, has shifted her brand's assets to, don't worry, a family-run trust valued at more than $50 million. Now, if it's a family-run trust, that means you still have the money and you still have someone within your family running it that you can communicate to any day. Yeah. And you know exactly how many patents you applied to. I know how many patents you applied to and how many got accepted by China, because it's all in the public. So you have all of this information. And so what part is you recusing yourself from anything? It isn't. You're sitting right next to the leader of China. He's approving your trademark. He's like texting in, approve three more trademarks for Ivanka, right? Yeah. And they say, no, 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 no. Now, Ivanka does get to do business with China. And in her official capacity in the government, she will recuse herself if there is a conflict of interest specifically related to not trade, that's too broad, not business, that's too broad, if they start talking about clothing. Really?
What about handbags? What about handbags?
So if the you think the Chinese leader is that unsophisticated? Well, our leader is that unsophisticated, but their leader is not, right? That he is going to be like, now Ivanka, I'll give you 10% off on the goods that you're importing in from China. No, he's not going to say that.
No, of course
he's
not.
He's going to say,
it's just the understanding. He knows now that he can give you certain things with the understanding that you will give him something back. So it's bad enough that she gets these patents. We have no idea if she deserves them, if there's merit, whatever. But God knows what we're going to give them back for it. I guarantee you this, you're not going to profit from it. You're not going to benefit from it. Maybe someone in China will benefit from it, and that's great for them. But that's not how our business, our government. It's the same thing to me now. It's Freudian slip. That's not how our government is supposed to function. But that's every day. We don't get to cover all these stories. But every day there's more stories about how Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump and Jared Kushner are, and the sons as well, since they're getting sent on taxpayer-funded trips to the UAE and South America, they're benefiting from the fact that they're in government. That is not how the system is supposed to function.
Guys, I mean, doesn't it bother you? Again, I know if you're a liberal or progressive, it bothers you. But if you're a conservative, that they said that you were going to hire Americans. He's signing an executive order now saying, we hire American and we build an America. And then he's like, not me, you, not me, doesn't apply to me. I mean, look, we know that he had all of his stuff made in China as he was running for president. He's like, I'm just a good businessman. Well, then why isn't everybody else a good businessman? Why can't they build in China like you do, right? But you excuse this somehow because, he's running for president, but he isn't president yet. He's president now. And on the day that he's saying, you got to make it in America, his daughter's like, here, take 3.4 tons butter from China, rub it in your face. Rules don't apply to us. We're rich, we're the elite.
Yeah.
And we've rebuilt the swamp, and we were messing with you the whole time. And you were stupid enough to believe it. We don't believe a word that we're saying. How can you justify it? You're really going to sit there if you're a right-wing troll and you're going to go, I love it when they break the rules. Buy American, hire American, make it in America, unless you're the Trumps.
Yeah.
Are you really that pathetic?
Yeah. You might say, they're rich, they're going to make a little bit of money, I don't care as long as they're doing what they said they do. He also said he was going to label China as a currency manipulator. Now he says he's not going to. He says it's to get them to help with North Korea. But how do you know it's not trademark related? She got three, he got 35 a month ago. How do you know that that's not driving it? And you wanted them to be labeled as a currency manipulator, Trump voter, but all of a sudden, maybe don't care so much because you have to look the other way because he is your dear leader.
Now, look, he might be doing that partly because of North Korea, which would be good, okay? Or he might be doing it because Jared Kushner was just about to do a $4 billion deal with a Chinese company in New York for a building he needed to unload.
We'll never
he might
know.
Be doing it because they just had trademarks approved by the Chinese government. And by the way, one other part of this story, remember when Kellyanne Conway said, go buy Ivanka's stuff, and there was that controversy around it? Do you know that her sales spiked 771% in February after that comment? And then in March, it was sustained, not at that level, but still spiked above last year, 262%. So you think all this stuff is not good for business? You know what Ivanka said about this whole controversy? She's like, please, I do declare. My business probably would have been better off if I didn't have to go spend my time in Washington. Really, it would have been better off than a 771% increase in business because you turned the government into your marketing company. None of this is for your benefit or our benefit. It's all for the Trump family's benefit. So if you're comfortable with that and you don't mind them robbing you blind and selling our national interests out, have at it, Hoss. But I think a lot of us are very, very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go. We got a great second hour coming up for you guys, including another Ivanka story and a hijab story. Is it mandatory? Is it not? Et cetera. So everybody check out youtube.com/thinktank. And speaking of think tank, Hannah Cranston will be on in the next
hour.
I don't know. We'll be right back.